Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Throughout the month of May, select restaurants and all New Seasons markets in Oregon will be featuring an aqua plate special, a menu item featuring seafood whose habitat is dependent upon the health of Oregon's estuaries. This in honor of the Wetlands Conservancy's 30th anniversary, and May is American Wetlands Month. Today, my guests are Esther Lev, she is the Executive Director of the Wetlands Conservancy, and local chef Lisa Clement of Clemente's Restaurant. Esther is joining us by phone from your office. Are you there, Esther?
I am.
Excellent. And Lisa Clement, hello.
Good morning, Donna.
So, all right. Before we begin to talk about the significance of May being American Wetlands Month, the Wetland Conservancy, what is a wetland, what's an estuary, all those kinds of things that people may not know, and, of course, about the Aquaplate special. Esther, let's just talk a little bit about each one of you. And actually, I'll go ahead and start with Lisa Clement, and then we'll come back to you. So, Lisa, for listeners who may not be familiar with who you are, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am from a fourth-generation Astorian family. My family were all commercial gillnet salmon fishermen, and my husband and I started Clemente's Restaurant 7 years ago, and we currently provide seasonal menus focusing on sustainable harvests and the local harvests of our land and our sea, and that's certainly central to our beliefs, and we use the restaurant as a vehicle to provide education and knowledge about what people are eating and where it's coming from.
And I know that salmon is just part of you. It's part of your blood and bone, because many times in the past you've said that salmon put you to college. It took you, you know, on trips and many journeys and sent you to college, and you know you're grateful to the fish.
More than you can imagine. That's the reason that we are here. It's the reason that we are existing, and we're very, very thankful for it. I grew up being very thankful to the river and protecting the river, and being thankful to the salmon that was not only feeding us but sustaining our livelihoods. And that has been something that's generational through my family, and that we continue to educate our children and the community about why it's so important and so important to conserve.
And Lisa, actually, just before we go to Esther here in a second, you have a little story about when you were a small girl, you went out and used to sweep before the tides came in. Mm-hmm. Could you tell people about that?
You know, I was just telling Isabella, my 8-year-old daughter, the story, reminding her. But yes, we had a boathouse where we would fish. My father would fish, and they have drift rights in my family, and that's where they would be. It's just a little bit up the river, and we had a boathouse there because we spent a lot of time there. And the tide, of course, would come in with the ships. It's very similar to what happened with the tsunami, where the ships go through the channel, and they rush all the water in, and then it suddenly pulls it back out. And during those times, there's about an hour in between that time frame that outside of the house, all the logs on the bottom of basically the floor of the river would fill up with twigs and lots of debris and things from the tides, and I would treat it as my home and sweep out everything during low tide, and of course it would come back in, and it was just a part of the way that I grew up.
Part of your childhood. That I mean, you think of people, what do they do? Oh, I'm playing softball in this. But
yeah.
you were in the Columbia River.
Yeah.
And okay.
Very, very different. My son was playing the DS last night he has a limited time on it. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what? I never had anything like that. It was just so, so very different. But of course, my children are also growing up different because they're educated with all of those things that happened when we were young, too.
You're a child of the mm-hmm. river. Esther, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. That was a great story. I love that one. So I am the executive director of the Wetlands Conservancy, and my training is a biologist. And as a biologist and person who loves birds, I just found myself being attracted to those wet, muddy places. And as you get older and older, having an excuse to kind of get wet and muddy is really great. And as the years have gone by and I've gotten more and more involved in wetlands, similar to Lisa's respect and awe of salmon, I've just learned how wetlands are. They're just very magical places, and that there's a lot that they do that sustain our lives and, you know, in many different ways, both us and fish and wildlife species. And so through that, I've been working with Wetlands Conservancy for over 20 years.
Congratulations. 20 years in a nonprofit organization, and you are a 501c3.
We are, correct.
And the actual mission, Esther, of the Wetlands Conservancy, if you wanted to just, let's say you were giving somebody the elevator speech, what would you say?
What we try to do is conserve Oregon's wetlands. And so we do that as we are a land trust, so we do own properties. But we also work with private landowners and with the public at large of understanding why wetlands are important and helping people who currently own wetlands or in communities, how they might see, you know, that what the importance of wetlands and how they may restore them and protect them.
And for those who may say, well, what is the actual definition of a wetland? What would you tell people?
Well, that's an interesting thing. It's that wetlands, you know, by the technical definition for something to be a wetland, it has to have certain soils that are called hydric soils, and it takes many, many, many hundreds of years for those soils to form. It has water, you know, at least part of the year, and there's certain plants, and, you know, some of the plants that people are probably most familiar with wetlands are cattails or sedges, but there's many other types of plants. And wetlands are, you know, there's wetlands, estuaries we know of, then there's inland wetlands, there's small little wetlands that you find up in the mountains. So they're throughout the state of Oregon, and they come in all sizes and shapes and different kinds of, but they're generally areas that a portion of the year are very wet.
I always think of a red-winged blackbird singing in a wetland. And I think of wetlands as being more inland, and then I think of an estuary as obviously the place where the salt water from the ocean mixes with the fresh water from the rivers.
That's correct. And so all of those are wetlands, and then, as I said, you know, up in, you know, you could be up in the Cascades and you find small, small little wetlands, and then there's peat bogs in places, and each one of those wetlands might have, you know, some people think of wetlands and they think of great blue herons. Other people think of wetlands and they think of a red-legged frog or a turtle. Or in other wetlands, there's, you know, if you go over to Malheur, you can think of avocets or egrets. So each little wetland, you know, has different plants, different birds that become the face of that particular wetland system.
And one of the things I want to mention, I am privileged to be on the board of the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership, and known as LCREP, or the Estuary Partnership, and they work with the Lower Columbia River Estuary, which, you know, Astoria sits right above this estuary, and I think a lot of people aren't aware that it is an estuary. They think, oh, it's just part of the Columbia River, but an estuary is a really special place. And actually, yesterday I was talking with a local Astorian about the fact that we're right here on this estuary, and she said, what an interesting thing, because when you think of an estuary, you don't think of industrial ship traffic going through an estuary. You think of an estuary as being some kind of secluded or some place that's just not, that's undisturbed, and we started talking about, wow, it is true, it's like where worlds collide. Suddenly you have this big ship traffic, and it's going through an estuary, because you don't think about an estuary like that. I think you think of it more as like a wetland where it's some kind of more remote place.
I think that's a really good point, and I think it's a really great segue into one of the reasons why that we came up with the whole Aquaplate Special concept, is to educate people, is that, you know, we all love this great seafood and the bounty from here. People love going to the coast and going bird watching or walking along estuaries. And sometimes there's just that missing, you know, how do all those dots fit together? And that was one of the ideas behind the whole concept of the Aquaplate Special, as the people are eating these wonderful things that, you know, from the bounty of Oregon, is having them think about, oh, you know, I was just at the coast last weekend, or I just drove past that, this wetland, or, you know, this area last week. Oh, I see how these dots kind of connect.
Right. And Lisa, why don't you tell us what the Aquaplate Special, what is it at first? I think we better tell people during the month of May. I personally think it's such a great idea, we should do it all the time. But anyway, during the month of May, you can go to select restaurants, and we'll talk about those later. But Lisa is the only restaurant here on the North Coast in Astoria who is offering an Aquaplate Special. And what's that going to be, Lisa?
Well, maybe Esther should talk more about the actual program, but I can certainly talk about what it means to us and why we're so happy to be a part of it. Our entire menu is based upon as much as possible sustainable harvest of a very small radius of us. We try to get everything from a very short walk from our front door. And our entire menu has a story behind each menu item. And Gordon and I plan the menu that way, in that of course, the salmon has a story. We want to make sure that people are educated about where food is coming from, why it's important to know.
And to eat wild salmon instead of farm salmon.
Absolutely, and to know why that's important, why it's not, you know, just something that is a new term or something that's kind of the trendy thing to do, but why it's really central to the future sustainability of our land and the people in it and all of its Earth's inhabitants. But the Aquaplate special is just such a wonderful thing for us, because it's like so central to what we believe in, and someone else has done the legwork for me, which is amazing. It's just so thankful for the program. But what will happen is one of our menu items, which we have decided will be Oysters Casino, because the oysters are coming from a sustainable farm across the river that is a very small place that we get them from, a personal person named Dennis Tufts, and just amazing. The oyster is such a part of the estuary and the wetlands, and you can almost taste that in the actual oyster, that it comes from the salt water mixing with the fresh water and the amazing nutrient-rich area and bed that it's growing in. You can just feel that and taste it when you eat it. And that will be our Aquaplate special, and it will be 10% or more of that special will be donated directly to the Wetlands Conservancy.
So when people come in and to the restaurant, the Aquaplate special will be Oysters Casino, and then people learn it comes from the Willapa Bay
exactly.
area, and then they can go and visit that and say, oh, that's where mm-hmm. our lunch came from, that's where our dinner came from.
A very important thing is that, you know, not only can you come and have it prepared by us, but to know exactly where it comes from and to go and drive by that particular area and to really feel like you have an extreme connection with your food and where it's coming from.
Esther, how did this idea for the Aquaplate special come about, and who's participating?
The idea came about in just the more, you know, I was starting to meet people like Lisa and other restaurants and seeing their commitment to sustainability and to just really letting their diners, that they were making choices about local food and who it was coming from. And so to me, is that the concept of the Aquaplate special, it created an opportunity to educate diners, for them to better understand and support the vital connection between healthy wetlands and estuaries and basically Oregon's iconic and beloved seafood, you know, from the Oregon and Washington coast. So that was the idea of it, is that how do we start getting that message out to more people? Is that there's some people that we work with that are people who, oh, we love wetlands, and then restaurants are working with diners, but it's really one message, and so how can we work together and through a very fun thing and everyone's love of food be able to, you know, promote that idea? So this is the second year of the Aquaplate special, and we have 15 restaurants that are involved with it. In the Portland metro area, Aquariva and Cafe Nell is five of the Jake's restaurants, Jake's Famous Crawfish, Jake's Grill, Lucy's Table, Nostrana, and South Park, and Wildwood. And then on the coast, we have Clementi's that you've just been hearing about in Astoria, Newman's 988 in Cannon Beach, local Ocean Seafoods that's in Newport. We've also been working with Oregon Oyster that's based out of Yaquina Estuary, and then also New Seasons Markets that are in the Portland metro area. Is their 10 stores will also be participating.
How is New Season participating, in the sense that I think of New Seasons as an actual grocery store? Are they actually serving an Aquaplate?
They're going to do two things. One is that there's one week where they will, through their Farmer's Plate special, will be serving an Aquaplate, which I believe is going to be an Oregon pink shrimp quesadilla. And then they're also participating in sales of sustainable fish through their seafood department.
Oh, that's great.
And New Seasons, for those of you who don't know, New Seasons is a market that's really committed to, similar to Lisa's value, similar to ours, is to educating consumers about where is your food coming from, how do we protect water, land, how do we support smaller, you know, family-oriented businesses that are really care about all of these things together.
Exactly. And I just want to mention that if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm Donna Quinn, your host, and my guests today are Esther Lev. She's Executive Director of the Wetlands Conservancy and local chef Lisa Clemente of Clemente's Restaurant. And we're talking today about the fact that May is American Wetlands Month. And in honor of the Wetland Conservancy's 30th anniversary, select restaurants and all New Seasons markets in Oregon are offering an aquaplate special. So you get to go and eat delicious food, seafood, from local wetlands, and a percentage of your meal is donated to the Wetlands Conservancy. And one of the things that I have a little note here, Laura Anderson from Local Ocean Seafood said about estuaries, which I think is important because this is a large fishing operation here, Local Ocean Seafood. Estuaries are a critical link to ocean health through the role they provide in both water quality and fish shellfish rearing, refuge, and protection. Therefore, all our ocean species are dependent on estuary health through the critical land-sea connection. People perhaps aren't aware that estuaries gather nutrients from both land and sea, forming an ecosystem that contains more life per square inch. More life per square inch than the richest Midwest farmland. More than 75% of our nation's commercial fish catch relies on them for habitat. Wow. Do you think people realize this, Esther?
No, and that's, again, that's why we just thought, what a perfect venue through the Aquaplate Special and a perfect venue working with restaurants for people to know that. What I want is that people to come in, have these amazing meals at these restaurants, have an aha moment because they learned one more thing about an estuary, and then they immediately, you know, get on their bike, on their foot, in their car, and they go, where's the closest estuary? Or, you know, they go on their little Google app and say, there's 22 estuaries on the Oregon coast, so go visit them. Learn where they are, or even, you know, in water wetlands. It's like, you know, I just want people to walk out of the restaurant with, you know, just feeling really sated and happy that they had great food, and then just, you know, kind of charged up to kind of go, God, where are the wetlands? What do those wetlands do, you know, in the world that I live in?
Yes, and under, again, your estuary facts, too, Oregon's 22 major estuaries are ecologically essential for many fish and wildlife species, including salmon, herring, flounder, crab, oysters, clams, wading birds, ducks, geese, shorebirds, and harbor seals. They provide migration routes as well as habitat for reproduction, rearing, resting, and foraging.
Pretty important.
And are we losing them? I you know, you hear sometimes that the birds aren't having, the migration routes are being affected because we have wetlands that are being developed or they're drying up. And it seems to me it's essential. There aren't they like the lungs of the planet? I mean, how does that work?
That's a great thing. Is that I love to say that, you know, that wetlands are the lungs and the kidneys of the planet. So not just estuaries themselves, but wetlands in general. Is there's a lot of, beside what we just learned right now about all these fish and wildlife species that depend on them, wetlands are the natural sponges. So in areas where there's wetlands, when we have lots and lots of rains, is those soils that I told you about before that take a long time to form, is that they really can hold a lot of water. So we really find more and more, you know, it used to be in the past that people looked at wetlands and there were these wet, muddy areas. People saw them as being mosquito-prone, and it's, let's fill these in as quickly as we can. And then what happens is when you have more and more what's called impervious surface, which means like, you know, parking lots of driveways, pavement, that, you know, water has nowhere to go, that we start having a lot more problems with flooding. And those wetlands really are the natural sponges, that they really can hold water for a long time. And so we really want them in the infrastructure of, you know, our green infrastructure, basically. They also, many of the plants in wetlands have an ability to actually soak up pollutants. You know, cattails are really good at that, a lot of the sedges. So more and more you can see in developments now is bioswales are a part of them, where you'll see in parking lots where there's little mini wetlands that are created with all these plants, because it allows the water, you know, the plants will actually suck up some of the pollutants from the water before it goes into the storm drain system. So there's a lot of different roles that wetlands play. So they really are critical, kind of, you know, lungs, kidneys of our whole infrastructure and system. And then as well, you know, in the estuaries.
And Esther, just as you are making this connection between people eating the food that comes from these estuaries and wetlands, I think if people can visit these, that's even going to be more important. So where are the most accessible estuaries for casual walkers?
For casual walkers? Well, there's all kinds of them on the coast. So there's, you know, what I would suggest is that we have a website, and from our website you can link to a portal that we have worked on with the Institute for Natural Resources and also Oregon State University that's called the Oregon Wetland Explorer. And that has a map of where there's wetlands all over the state. Then on the coast itself is the North Coast Land Conservancy, owns quite a few, especially in the North Coast area. They have, and you can go to their website and figure out how to find those places, but they own wetlands in Cannon Beach, along the Columbia River Estuary, in the Nakanakum and Neawana, their Circle Creek area down in Warrington. And the Wetlands Conservancy has some wetlands in Arch Cape and Manzanita. The Nehalem Community Trust, you can visit their website. They also have a lot of wetlands that are around Nehalem Bay. Tillamook Estuary Partnership, similar to the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership, is working a lot in Tillamook. The Wetlands Conservancy is working a lot in the Aquinnah Bay, Beaver Creek area with Oregon State Parks, and as you just continue to go down the coast. So I would suggest that you go to our website or also the Oregon Wetland Explorer, and it can begin to send you out to how do you start finding some of the wetlands in your own area to go and explore.
Because not only do we have food coming from there, but there's also a spiritual sustenance that comes when we visit places and we hear birds singing. I mean, I was fortunate enough to go to the John Scharf Migratory Bird Festival in Malheur a few weeks ago, and the snow geese were coming through, and the sandhill cranes were warbling, and it was absolutely incredible.
They're very special places.
They are, and people think about, I like that you said you love birds, because I think if we're stressed and we're having a difficult time in our lives, if we could just sit quietly by a stream or under a tree and listen to a bird singing, I just think that lifts one's spirit so much. So, and estuaries and wetlands are places where not only food is, we're getting food from there, we're getting, you know, seafood and fish, and but also there are a lot of birds there, ducks, and they really need this.
Mm-hmm. Vitally important to so many different, on so many different levels, to keep them healthy and conserve them, because of the everything that we're talking about, the nutrient richness of them, the uniqueness, the place that we are right here with the mixture of so many different types of water and soils and nutrients, and keeping them protecting them naturally so they can do what they do naturally for the birds. For people that eat the product that comes out of them, that energy they're taking in when they're eating it is so very important.
That's true, Lisa. And what about, Esther, frogs? Because frogs, people don't maybe realize that frogs are an indicator species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and frogs, as you might guess, is they need wetlands for at least part of their life. So, you know, frogs, salamanders, dragonflies, there's, you know, there's lots of bird species, but there's plenty of other, you know, beaver, our state animal, is, you know, wetlands are really thriving with a lot of life. And each one of those species, it turns out, in return, you know, not only, you know, are they, you know, part of the flora and fauna, there's many ways that they're indicators or they're providing things back to us.
When you talk with people about, I mean, I'm sure you're, after 20 years, you're passionate and you are committed and you love what you're doing. When you talk to people about how they can help wetlands and estuaries and why they're vital, what kinds of things do people respond to or relate to? What do you, how do you connect with them about this?
You know, my favorite thing is to get people out in a wetland, because I think that, you know, when you can experience things, and just like you said earlier, if you can hear a red-winged blackbird, if you can see a heron, you know, if you can see some of these things, if you can see the water go in and out, if you can catch a crab, you know, there's nothing better than that that gives you that aha moment. We do a lot of volunteer events, getting people to help us with our preserves. That's, you know, one great way to get people involved. You know, getting people to become members of, you know, what we're doing and support what we're doing. We do tours, you know, from time to time. And just depending on the person and where in the state it is, I'll pick something about a wetland that they know or about wetlands in their area, of how that wetland may be interacting with their life in a way that they never made that connection.
So, Esther, we only have a couple of minutes left here, and I'm going to ask Lisa quickly to tell us, you know, any last-minute thing she'd like for folks to know about the Aquaplate special and wetlands, and then I'd love to come back to you and have you just say in closing what you'd like folks to know as well.
Okay, great.
I just wanted to say that, you know, coming into these participating restaurants in the month of May, and hopefully most of them, because we all think similarly throughout the year, will, you know, coming into them will help to promote many layers of our local food chain, and in particular this month of May, having some of the proceeds go to protect the wetlands and the estuaries and exactly protect exactly the habitat where your plate is coming from is very important, and I'm hoping that people will realize and be educated if they don't know and ask questions. We plan to educate the staff on even more. They're already educated in our restaurant, but the staff for more of the Aquaplate special, there'll be some fun little drawing for a really nice crafted plate from a local artist. And so,
wow, what a thank you so much, Lisa, for participating in this. It is exactly consistent with your mission, what you do at Clemente's. And Esther, what a delicious way for people to enjoy something that sustains them, nourishes them. Food is life. We obviously have to eat. And to eat something delicious that comes from an estuary wetland and then helps protect and enhance those areas. What a great idea.
It's really great, and I mean, the thing that's really fun is that I've gotten to meet Lisa through this, and what an amazing, inspirational person, just like all the other restaurants. And the one other thing I'd love to just put a little plug in that Lisa mentioned is that I have a board member, Marlene Hunziker, who's a professional potter, and she made these beautiful aqua plates. That it's an aqua plate, and then some of them have crab on them and fish, and each one of the participating restaurants will have one of those plates in it, and that diners get to put their name in a drawing for someone to be able to win that plate.
Oh, that's a great idea. Well, I will definitely be visiting restaurants during May and having the Aquaplate special, because it's doing something good for me and good for everyone, and we can all do that. And so I encourage all of our listeners to support the Aquaplate special. And Esther, thank you so much for being with us today on Talk of Our Towns. And I'm going to leave information here in the studio for people who might want to call in later and get information about your website and about how they can go and visit these estuaries and these wetlands. And so I'll have all that information for listeners who want to call in later. Thanks so much, Esther.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Esther.
Thank all of you who listen to Talk of Our Towns and who support local community radio.